Well, good evening tonight. For you that have not been in any meetings that I've been at New Wine Harvest, I've been here several times over the years. I am from New Jersey. That's where I live, but I guess I'm from all over the country most of the time because we do a lot of things around the nation. I've been a pastor for 28 years of our own church in New Jersey, and I've been married for 34 years. I got three grown daughters, 31, 29, 26, and I really have been blessed mightily in my life. And to come back to Pastor Ken, I really enjoy being in his presence. And I said it last night when I saw him, one of the most humble men you're ever going to meet. And I'm really glad to be here, to be back with you again. So when Jarrell told me that you guys were working it out for me to come back here, I was excited. So I'm glad to be here. In the body of Christ, primarily I'm known as a prophet. That means I speak the Lord's words prophetically. I speak inspirationally what he tells me to speak. Ordain people around the country, around the world. We do a lot of what they call presbyteries, where we set people in office. That's what we did last night. Aaron, my good friend, set him and his wife in last night, and also Kelly and Javon Gilliam as the lead pastors of the church there in Shiloh. I was really listening last night. So I may do some of that. I do it as the Holy Spirit leads me, but it's exciting. I want to tell you some things tonight, and I hope you're maybe note takers or phone takers, voicemail takers or whatever. But I'm going to teach you some things that may help you, and I hope that they do. How many hear the phrase all the time, the next level? Okay. Now, I may have to talk fast. I always say I'm going to talk New York, Jersey style so I can get it all in because I want you to have something. I always want to leave the word and an impartation with any group of people that I speak to. Amen? Years ago, I'll start out with a story because I'm still learning how to preach. They say storytelling is very good. But years ago, we had purchased a facility. And it was, I don't know, I can't remember exactly. I'm going to say maybe 21,000 square feet. And we could sit about 300 chairs in there, chairs like this in the building. And we had dedicated the facility. And we asked, actually it was some heavy hitters to come to do the dedication. An elder prophetess from California, Dr. Violet Keitley, who was involved in the Latter Rain movement from Canada. And her father was Smith Wigglesworth's charioteer and driver. Wigglesworth used to come to her house when she was a little girl and stay there and pray. Her mother was very good friends with Wigglesworth, so she came. Bishop Joseph Garlington came. Pastor Violet's son, David, a prophet known worldwide, he was there. These are all kind of my friends and mentors and overseers and spiritual fathers and all that combined. And they came to help me dedicate this facility. Well, it was exciting. It was the first place we bought. And I was really excited, like a kid in a candy store. And I remember, wow, we did it. And why was it so big? Because for years we had struggled. When you start a church from nothing, no money, no help, it's very, very challenging. The only thing you're riding on is faith and perseverance. Because nobody gave me any money. I didn't have any church backing me. You may ask, well, were you sent? Yes, I was sent by the church I had served in for 10 years. Because after I got out, after the ordination service, which was nowhere near as glorious as last night, it was you, and you come down here and kneel at the altar on a Sunday night service, and they poured oil on us and laid hands on us. That was it. And when we left, I couldn't tell anybody we were going to leave the church because the pastor didn't want me to take people with me. Not that I really was, but he was that type of person. And so it wasn't a glorious exit either. But it was legal. Because, you know, you always hear the phrase, some went, some were sent. Well, I was sent. I was sent. And after I got out of the church, he asked for his papers back. And that church utterly rejected me and turned its back. So when I say I had no help, there was no money. The offering that was given to me to start our church was about $400. And that was it, which I received a month after I had left the church. Can you say amen? Now you see how good you really have it. And so, but I love this story because it proves that I'm really called. Some are called, but many are called, but few are chosen. And so we were celebrating finally after 16 years of journeying with 8 facilities and hotels and VFWs. And we had facilities in a place that the Muslims used and some guys from Palestine. And another place was where a Greek Orthodox used, and we rented that. And another place was, the place we bought was a Jewish synagogue. So I ministered and journeyed with the Greeks, the Jews, and the Muslims before I got the place. And I remember this, and this is where I'm going tonight. And I hope this helps you, as I got a lot of ammo back here in this music stand to fight against the devil with. Because he's the thief that robs all of us. And so they came, they dedicated the building, and it was maybe 2 or 3 days after they had all left. These apostles and prophets had left. And we were standing having a little staff meeting, maybe 4 or 6 of us, just praying and thanking God. You know, we finally arrived, we were ready. And I blacked out in the spirit. And what I mean by that, I was still standing holding hands, but I was not inside of my body at that point. And all I remember was it was like somebody took me outside of the building. And on the side of the building, there was holly. I don't know if any baseball fans are here that have ever looked at the Chicago Cubs stadium with the holly in the outfield. But it was all this holly on the sides of the building. But it was black. And I was standing outside of the building, like suspended in the air looking. I said, what is that? Because the building on the color, it was white outside. And the Lord said, those are demons. I said, demons? He said, yeah. He said, and I want you to tell them to leave. I said, where'd they come from? He said, those are the things that follow apostles and prophets. He said, they came when your guests came to the building. I said, oh. He said, so tell them in my name, to leave right now. So I said it really weak, in the name of Jesus, leave. Nothing happened. He said, say it with authority. I said it really loud. In the name of Jesus, leave now. And when I said that, I saw a fluttering. That's when I knew they looked like black bats. And they started fluttering, and they lifted up, and all of them peeled off the side of the building, and they just flew like a flock of birds, but it was bats, but they were actually demons. And they went up, and they went out. And I'm standing there. Then I was back inside of the room with everybody else praying. And then I looked up, and I looked up in the ceiling, but the ceiling was gone. And I saw, as it were, something breathing on top of the ceiling. I saw this. And I looked up. I said, what is that? He said, that's a principality. I said, where did that come from? He said, well, that's what follows people at that level that make a mark in the body of Christ. He came here because they were here and he didn't leave. He said, now I want you to tell this thing to leave. Now, nobody's seeing this. This is all in the spirit. You think I'm crazy yet? You going home? Okay. And so I spoke. And I said, leave in the name of Jesus. And when I said that, it lifted up like this. It was laying on top of the roof, covering the whole roof. And it lifted up, and I screamed. And he said these words to tell. He said, say, as the apostle of this house, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave. And I screamed as loud as I could. And it was as my voice was like darts and arrows or a shotgun or a bazooka gun that hit this thing and made it lift all the way up. And when it lifted up, it looked like a giant bat. And it was staring just hanging there in the air. It had a dragon's tail. It had bat wings. It was as long as this building, and the wings were wide. And I heard the sound of the wind of its wings. And it lifted up. I said, go! And when I said go, it hit it real strong, and it lifted up off the roof, maybe about 20 feet in the air, and it, poof, it dissolved into those black birds again. And it was gone. I said, Lord, what is that? He said, you just entered another level of authority. Now, any leaders here tonight? Ain't nobody smiling, okay. Any leaders, okay. Then why'd you tell that story? Because I want to tell you that you're going to get to the next level. So I'm going to get you into this message real quick. I'm going to ask you to do something. Tell a few people around your seats, you're going to get to the next level eventually. All right. All right. Now the enemy, I'll speed it up a little bit. The enemy has a strategy for your defeat. I'm not trying to glorify the devil, but the devil is real. And the Lord showed me that day some principles that I will never forget, and they were in the spirit. I didn't read them out of a book. I was experiencing this. The third thing he showed me that night, or that morning, it was the afternoon, I'm sorry, in the afternoon, he said, I saw myself being elevated. And as I was going up, I saw my head come to a certain level. And I looked around. So picture this. If you're on the first floor, you're elevated to the second floor, which is here. But as you're elevated, your head goes through. And you're there looking around. But only your head goes through. And the Lord told me, he says, son, the reason why you're getting beat up is because you're the leader. And the head without the body cannot fight. I'll let it sit there, Lord. He said, your head has no weapons. The head has eyes to see vision and ears to hear, a mouth to speak, but it's no weapons. It's no shield of faith. It's no arms with a sword in it. He says, so every time you get elevated to the next level, you go from a high place to a low place at the next level. You're actually at a beginner's level. You see in the picture? He said, and you're susceptible to a battle that you are not trained for at that point. Anytime you get a raise, anytime you're elevated, a promotion of any kind, this is what happens. Any advancement, this is what happens. And then he showed me the rest of the body has to come through. And when the rest of the body comes through, the shoulders come through because the shoulders carry the weight. And then the arms and all that come through and they can fight the enemy. And the rest of the thing comes through till you're standing on the next level and it's under your feet. He showed me this by the Holy Ghost. This wasn't written in a book. And it showed me that day. The enemy devises a strategy for your defeat. Let's go there. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. He says, in the Amplified Bible, Peter says, be well-balanced, temperate, sober-minded, vigilant, and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams about as a lion, roaring with fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and be steadfast. In John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Rise up. Realize he's out to get you. If you get hit, don't back up. Stand, fight, swing. The thief comes to steal everything that God has given you. Good. He comes to steal your future. He comes to steal your emotions, your friends, your seed. He comes to kill everything that might bear fruit and grow in your life. He comes to kill it, comes to stop you immediately. As soon as it's birthed, as soon as an idea comes, he comes to stop it. He's there to kill, like Pharaoh assigned the midwives, to kill all the male children by killing their babies as soon as they came forth. That's why you can have ideas and things and concepts that will come into your mind, and as soon as it comes, a negative thought it comes and says, no, that would never work. You can't do that. That's how he steals. The wiles of the enemy in Ephesians 6:11, it says, stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means this, to follow up and investigate by methods and a settled plan to plan a crafty trick and scheme against you. So the enemy, whether you like it or not, is out tonight planning schemes, crafty tricks, and methods to investigate your life to try to stop you from moving forward in God. All right. Thank you for that preach. Wiles in the Greek word means the snares are laid behind a person. It's a treacherousness that comes upon one's back at unawares. So Satan lets the trap be behind. You don't even see when he's coming. He don't come in front of you. He comes behind you. That's what a wile is. W-I-L-E-S. Okay? The serpent, like an adder, is in the path. It bites the heels of the passengers. The word signifies an ambush or stratagem of war whereby the enemy sets upon a man at unawares. It signifies such snares are set to catch one in one's road. So he sets it in the road of your journey and your pathway. Okay? Now watch this. A man walks in his road and he thinks nothing of it. Unaware as the enemy catches him. In 2 Timothy 2:26, it says that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him at his will. Why is it that so many people get saved and so many people are unfulfilled in the church? Why is it so many people get saved and they don't really grow to great levels? This is why. They must recover themselves, or mean awaken themselves, out of his snares. Snares for the wise, snares for the simple, snares for the hypocrite, snares for the upright, snares for the generous soul, snares for the rich, snares for the poor, snares for the aged, and snares for the youth. He's always trying to get you. When does he do it? Satanic attacks come in seasons of sacrifice. As soon as you make up your mind to sacrifice, here's the attack that's coming. Why is the most unhappy sector or section of a church meeting the offering? And it is. When does it get quiet? When the man or woman of God gets up and says, it's time to give. Why? Because he doesn't want you to prosper. Okay? And he comes in seasons of sacrifice. Where'd you get that from? Genesis 15:11 says, when the vultures came down on Abraham and the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Abraham was about to make a big sacrifice, and the vultures showed up as soon as he was going to make the big sacrifice. Jesus said in Matthew 13:4, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. As soon as you give, here he comes. Genesis 15:1, 6, 7, and 11. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Okay? And it says here again, when he placed the bird and the turtle dove, and he was ready for the sacrifice, it says, the vultures came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. Number three, satanic attacks come in seasons of breakthrough. Every time you're expected to have a breakthrough, here comes the attack. Exodus 14:15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go forth on dry ground. As soon as the breakthrough was about to come, that's when Dathan and Korah came to challenge Moses. We had food in Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here to die? As soon as you're about to receive a breakthrough. Okay? I want you to see these things. Another time attack comes in seasons of intense intercession and prayer. Daniel 9, verse 3 and 4. Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications, fasting in sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, how great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercies with those who love him and keeps his commandments. And what happened? Verse 10, chapter 10. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand, to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. But I have come for your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. And Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. He said, now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. What are you talking about, man, on this Saturday night? I'm talking about being real, how you get to the next level. How do you get to the next level? First of all, you have to realize that it's there. Secondly, when you're trying to get there, you have to be conscious that there's going to be a satanic structure to try to wipe you out before you get there. Can you just smile at two or three people tonight? Amen, amen, amen. Now, what are you talking about? I'm taking you somewhere tonight. Because what I've learned, I'm doing good on time for once. How we deal with the enemy, how we deal with life, is what we get out of it. Now, there's three levels to life. I'll give you this section right now. There's three levels to life. There's one, number one, okay? The first one is family. First thing a person is aware of when they're born, when they're a child, is their family. Family speaks of provision. I'm getting a new bike. It's Christmas. I'm going to do this. We get school clothes, whatever it is. Food on the table. Shelter over your head. You always hear that phrase from moms. So with the family, the first level, everybody say first level. In that first level is your work, your job, your bosses, your children, your school, security, managers, weddings, funerals, houses, cars, investments, savings, food, daily bread, provision. That's the first level. I told people how you read the Bible or how you see Jesus is how determines what level you actually live at. If you're caught in this level by itself, you'll never see the other two levels. Stay with me now. The second level, and I'm really blitzing through a lot of this, okay? Let me just give you this scripture. In Matthew 6, verse 9 through 12, Jesus said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, who is in heaven, holy be your name, or hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So the first thing he's talking about is daily provision. Most believers are caught in level one thinking. What is that? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, 32, 33, it says, do not be as the Gentiles who think about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to put on. He said, Jesus said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He said, but you should seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Am I quoting the Bible tonight? All right, I'm in the Word now. I might be bald-headed, but I know the Word. All right. We're going to have a good time tonight. The second level is the church when someone comes to Jesus. Second level is the church. And the church speaks of relationships and a second family. Second family. What are you talking about? Within that second family, there's unity. There's God's family. The house of the church or the body of Christ, the house of bread. Church has to be in unity to function within the church. And isn't it funny that if you and I struggle in the first family, we have a hard time in the second one. Isn't it weird? How many ever been around and church gossip has happened? Raise your hand. Somebody said something negative in church. Only three of you. Okay. Thanks, brother. This man is righteous. Amen. Amen. He said all of us. That's right. Just be real about it. Okay? How many have ever been hurt in the church? Rejected in the church? Talked about in the church? Look at that. Now you're waking up. Because you still feel it too. Judged in the church. But it's the second family. So the reason why everything hurts so bad, because it's your family. Now, wait a minute, but this family is white, is black, is Latino, is Mexican, is Asian. It's different than the first family you're in. It's easy. This one's different. You not only have to get along spiritually, but culturally also. And it has a different flavor, a different vibe, a different language, a different flow that you're supposed to have that makes this second family work. And that's why there's so many problems in the church, because people do not understand all it is second level thinking. What are you talking about? I'm going to break this down for you. Y'all right? Okay, y'all right. The Lord showed me all this crazy stuff, so I'm just giving you what he showed me. Second level thinking. Okay, let me go here. There's a culture in church. There's many cultures in church. There is this culture. Oh, 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 oh. I used to lead worship. There's high church. There's, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. I did that to wake some of you up. The message looks boring. Looked pretty boring tonight. I'm going to get you somewhere, though. There's different types of dance. When I was younger in the 80s, they were dancing. They do these dances like this. Some of y'all remember that. Every song was the horse and the rider, and you dancing. It's thrown into the sea. Then there's this. Oh, yeah, the old church dance. Hook the old arms around. Styles of preaching. Styles of dance. Styles of music. What a wonderful name it is. Powerful name it is. Right? Withholding nothing. It's gospel music. There's different styles. But this is all your family. Different styles, different cultures, different sounds, different everything, different methodologies, different ways to communicate the gospel. There's inspirational, there's emotional, there's non-emotional, non-inspirational communication in the church. There's all these wonderful things, but it's all your family. Now, the thing that people in the second family have to watch out is that we don't go against each other and once again try to reclassify. Say, my culture is better in the family than yours. See, we don't get the revelation of second family until we hit third level. I'm still going to talk what I said today. I'm just taking them there. I'm walking. I'm doing a Dustin Hoffman. I'm walking here, all right? It's easy for me in Jersey. People talk like that from New York. All right? So you see this. Okay. Satan, when Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation, he tried to tempt him with a second level revelation. So with a second level understanding, first level is what? Work, job, bosses, cars, money, food. Okay. Second level is church. He tried to tempt him with a second level revelation. What was that? He said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. He said, turn these stones into bread. He tried to get him to stop. Watch this. And this is the revelation I want to give you tonight. The devil would have loved to have stopped Jesus at the church. Okay, you say, well, I don't know what he's talking about now. He's off. Oh, no. I ain't off. Because Jesus asked this question, Matthew chapter 16. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Matthew 16:13. They said, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets. Some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And he stuttered. One man out of 12 said, you're the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one of God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, level one. I'm going to tell you where your family came from. You're Simon and you're the son of Jonah. Watch this. Blessed are you. Right? He said, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Watch this. He said, and upon this truth, this revelation, this rock, this insight, upon you now stepping out of level one, you hit something that nobody in history has hit. You actually skipped something. And you came to level three. He said, and upon this rock, I'm going to build something. I'm going to build my called out ones, my ecclesia, my ecclesia, my church. The word church, when it's broken down in the Greek in its fullness, means my congress. Oh, they're messing them up now. Oh, church, God, help us tonight. It means, Jesus said, I'm going to build my congress. That's what it actually means. The governmental structure, this is why it makes sense, and I'm just quoting Matthew 16. The governmental structure to execute the laws of my government. But because we stepped into a religious second level mentality where we've turned church into a club, a party, a happy-go-lucky thing with all these different cultures and all this crazy stuff, we don't operate like a congress. We don't get anything done. And so now we're leaning on the natural world, level one politicians. They're going to take us to the promised land. They can't take you to the promised land. I'm sorry. Well, they're better than the last one. Still, they can't take you to the promised land. They can't. Now, if there's a fight in you or a resistance, that's showing you how far down into this you are. When the last election came, there was more division in the body of Christ than I've ever seen. And it was just over two political parties. And it split the church. And it's still fragmented from that. Upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia, my congress. And the gates of hell will not prevail or be able to hold it back from executing what I call to execute. Watch this. And to you, I give the keys to the kingdom. Yes. There you go. I say that too, brother. I give to you the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever on earth you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose will be loosed in heaven, loosed on earth. He said, I'm giving you keys to the third dimension. Third level thinking. Third dimension. It's the kingdom. Most people are drunk with church. The church is the vehicle that God uses to teach us about the kingdom or how to function as kingdom citizens. But we're caught in the church. We are that. But it's time to graduate to third dimension thinking. It's the kingdom. Watch this. And he said, I say unto you, Peter. He called him different. Let me go back because I'm talking to you out of the Bible. The first time he calls him Simon, son of Jonah. Simon means wishy-washy, flaky, unstable in level one. The second time he says, and unto you, Peter, which means little stone, little rock. Jesus, based upon the revelation that you have of who God is based upon, it's going to dictate the level you'll be able to function at. Now, I know you got to swallow. That's going to take a lot because most church-going folk, God-fearing folk, ain't thinking like that. I'll say it again. Based upon the level, or one of these three dimensions that you operate in is to the degree you're going to be able to function. You're going to see the Bible through a provisionary element, my needs. And we've had a lot of that. my cars that I'm going to get, my rings I'm going to get, my property, my lands, my planes. Level one thinking. I'm going to see it through my pastor. And people worship their pastors. They worship them. Oh, you go some places, they worship. Oh, my pastor, you just don't know. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to hurt any cultures here tonight. But a pastor's like God. So based on the level that you see this thing at, it's to the degree you're going to be able to function in it. Now, I told you a key here. The church is called the Congress of God. Oh, by the way, this Congress doesn't have retreats. This Congress doesn't go out of session. Congress is not in session, so we can't legislate any new bills. No, the Congress of the Kingdom of God is always in session. Yeah. It never stops. So based upon Peter, where he was, Simon, he finds out somehow by the Holy Spirit, who actually came to broaden our understanding of the kingdom. Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit reveals to Peter, or to Simon, who Jesus really is, and it elevates Peter's position and his name. So his identity shifted to make him an able vessel to carry the keys and to execute the congressional orders from heaven. They don't teach this in church. We're teaching a good message and people are dictating to rush a preacher out of a service on a Sunday when we don't even know what we're doing and how to execute the kingdom of God. I know there wouldn't be any amens on this part of the message. But I've taught this message all over. This little part here. Let me see what time it is. Oh, I got to hurry up. I got to hurry up now. Because the third dimension is the kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. Kingdom. That means revelation authority. Jesus overcame the temptation on the Mount of Temptation because he knew who he was. Satan tempted him with a first level temptation. If you be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Somebody that's living at a level, a provisionary level only, they would have ate that bread. And that would have been it. They would have compromised, sold out. Forget that, I ain't eating 3 weeks. But what does Jesus say to him in the end? He said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, for him only shall you serve. Second temptation, he says, all these kingdoms, the devil said. So he's going to as high as he can, as he can go. He said, all of these kingdoms will I give unto you if you fall down and worship me. He said, the kingdom of the world, he said, for they are mine to give. The glitz, the glamour, the wealth, the money, the stock market, the bank accounts. He said, it's all mine. Jesus said, no, that's second level and that's first level thinking. That's not enough for me. He said, beat it. I'm God. I'm the king of the kingdom. And that's what I came to execute in the earth. Okay, this is a different kind of message, right? Okay. He overcame temptation because he knew who he was. Every time, and this is heavy stuff, man. I'm not teaching baby Christians here. I'm dealing with you now. Because every time you look in the Bible at certain people, Elijah, Elisha, who did they deal with? Well, Elijah dealt with kings. King Ahab. Elisha dealt with King Jehu. Elisha told the king to keep hitting the ground. You know that story, strike the ground. But they dealt with kings because they were functioning out of a kingdom mentality. And a kingdom revelation. That is why when Elijah prayed that the heavens would open and bring fire down against the prophets of Baal, God backed him because he was functioning out of the kingdom. The church is not the kingdom. The church is in the kingdom and it's a part of it. The only thing that's never going to go away is the kingdom of God. This is real. I know it sounds like a sarcastic cynic tonight, but I'm trying to help you with peeling back truths. Okay? In Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given unto me, where? In all the dimensions. So can he take care of us provisionally? Absolutely. Getting a job to Jesus is nothing. Getting accepted into college to Jesus is absolutely nothing. He said, give me something harder than that. Because I've got all authority in heaven and in earth, in all the realms. I got authority over the church. The Bible says that God made him to become head over all things to the church. He's the head of the Congress. You want to say who he is? He's the president. President Jesus. He's the head of the Congress. He's the head over provision. That's why he can speak to fig trees and they wither. Or that's why he can speak to fish and they come. This is who we're talking about tonight. The master of provision. That's why he can speak to a donkey that's never been ridden upon, never broken in, and say, come, and I'm going to ride you because I own you. I've made you. Go get me a donkey where no man has ever sat. That's impossible because it would have bucked him off. But that donkey, it was under authority because the king was sitting on that donkey. We can keep going all day. Go down to the river, Peter, and find one fish. I know the fish that's coming. I know his name. I know how many scales he has. He's going to come with a piece of money in his mouth to pay Caesar his taxes because I own the provisionary dimension. And people are afraid in the church. Is God going to show up? Is he going to meet my needs? I'm praying for my needs to be met. Are you kidding me? Come on now. Are we going to have enough to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to put on? He said, after all these things, level one, there you go, baby. I love it. He said, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? He said, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and I'll give you everything. He said, all these things will be added unto you. Did he say that? That's Matthew 6, verse 33 in your scriptures. All right. It's all right. You all right? Well, give God some praise for a second if you're liking. I got a ways to go. Oh, my country, 'tis of thee. Okay. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus said this. He said, all authority have been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, 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 not just the block, nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the commandments and things that I have commanded you to do. He says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm never going to leave you. So you can do it. You can get it done because I'll be right there with you. I'll be there with you like the song from Friends. I'll be there for you. Okay, let's go back. The Great Commission is not just about individual salvation. It's about corporate redemption. It's about getting everybody in. Okay? The Great Commission focuses large on enlarging the family of God through evangelism and discipleship. Matthew 28:19 refers to sending these discipled ones out of the Congress to the surrounding culture to disciple their nations. That's really the purpose of why we gather, to learn how to do that and get out of here and go do it. Household, amen. Okay? Why? Because it's a cultural mandate. In Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed them. You're supposed to be fruitful. Look at somebody said, you're supposed to be fruitful. It says in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Number one, in the original contact or the cultural mandate, we're supposed to multiply families and disciple nations. Okay? In order to do that, you need the fivefold ministry to come and teach the church what to do. That's what I'm actually doing tonight. In Matthew 18:19, we need apostles and prophets to lead the advance of God's kingdom. Because the Bible says that God establishes in the church first apostles, which are sent ones, secondarily prophets. Amen. Foundation stones, developers, builders, and spokesmen for the Lord. That's why when the church rejects the office of the apostles and prophets, which many have in the American church, that's why the church is weak and strong and not strong, because it's rejected the original foundational elements in which the church is going to be built upon. It says the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. Is that right, church? Give God a praise if I'm telling you the truth out of the Bible. That's the scriptures, okay? I already said this to you. The ecclesia is the church. The original use of the word, Greek word ecclesia was in history was to depict the Roman Greek citizens and the assemblies, senators, coming together to exact public policy. The reason why we gather is to learn what we should do, the laws of the kingdom, and go out and exact public policy for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the streets. But the devil has turned it around with his attacks and caused you and I to want to hide in our houses. And not get into the streets and not evangelize because we don't understand our assignment. He said, if you get out there, I'll be with you. And we wouldn't be looking for politicians or business systems or technology to do our work for us. Okay. How much time I got left? About 10 minutes. I ain't even get to the good stuff, the happy stuff yet. I'll get there. I'm hurry up. I told him I was going to talk fast now. What are you talking about? There's a difference between the church and the kingdom. Okay? We're not only family members of the kingdom, but we're citizens of the kingdom. Family has to do with our rights. Kingdom has to do with our responsibility as the Congress of God. We're not only sheep and farmers, but we're judges. The Bible says that we would judge the nations. We're healers, but also destroyers. We're priests, but also kings. We're those who apply the anointing for healing, but we function as salt and light in the world. We influence the family mountain we need to influence, but we need to influence the culture also. In the church, Jesus saves. In the kingdom, Jesus rules. In the church, we unite. In the kingdom, we are functioning in the kingdom. In the church, we encourage. In the kingdom, we command. In the church, we're saving the lost. We find success. We find jobs. Okay? We find all these wonderful things. But in the kingdom, you find responsibility. In the church, we minister. In the kingdom, we commission people. In the church, we save individuals. In the kingdom, we disciple nations. In the church, we protect our family. In the kingdom, we're sent to the nations. In the church, we cast out demons. In the kingdom, we dethrone demonic systems. Big difference. In the church, the focus is care and relational. In the kingdom, the focus is assignment and task. In the church, serving is encouraged. In the kingdom, serving is mandatory for the king. In the church, individuality is encouraged. In the kingdom, corporate unity is encouraged. In the church, we gather and assemble. In the kingdom, we disperse and send. In the church, happy, healthy family members are celebrating the goal. In the kingdom, we are training soldiers to take the lead. In the church, the local congregation is emphasized. In the kingdom, the region is emphasized. Taking cities. What are you talking about, man? You're talking about all this crazy stuff, demons on the roof, devils looking like holly, and demons strategizing, and the wiles of the devil and schemes that he's walking behind you to trick you, to stop you. I'm talking about all this is happening. Why? To stop you from getting to the next level. Because there's another level for you. Can you say amen tonight? There's another level. All right, bring us in now. That's right, like the old Baptist. Bring us home now, Lord. Bring us home now, Lord. I feels my help's coming now. Come on, Jesus. That's culture again, right? Church culture. Oh, I'm terrible tonight, Real. I'm terrible, Ken. But what's the next level? Does this all make sense to you? I told you a lot of stuff. I preach fat messages now. I like people to eat good. Thanksgiving all over again. But how do you get to the next level? Well, I told you what the assignment was. There's three levels that I talked to you about. There was family, level 1, church, level 2, kingdom, level 3. How you understand those levels is how you'll read the Bible. You'll look at the Bible totally different based upon the level that you're functioning out of. Some people only read the Bible as a provisionary element. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's the only scripture you know. The Lord is my shepherd. My. I shall not want. He make me lie down in green pastures. Lead me beside still water. Restores my soul. Okay? You see it one way. What level are you at tonight? Let's get to the next level. So how do you get to the next level? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. I said this morning, but by faith, the scripture says, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive. He obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going. So the first principle of getting to the next level in life, you're not going to have all the answers. That's why it's called a mystery. It's a journey. And if you're those kind of people that you got to have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and everything you do, this is going to be a tough ride for you. It says, God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he said, Abraham, get out of your father's house and from your kindred to a land that I will show you of. And when you get there, I'll make of you a great nation. And the nation that blesses you, I'll bless. The nation that curses you, I'm going to curse them. He said, but leave. The scripture says Abraham went out not even knowing where he was going. Well, I can't do that. I mean, I ain't no fool. I ain't going just nowhere. Old Christian song, children, go where I send thee. Remember that? God wants to send you to places that you never even knew and recognized. I have a building in a city that I never knew existed in New Jersey. But he told me to go there. I was sitting at my desk and I had a listing from a real estate agent that sat in my desk for 11 months. And one day I was sitting at the desk, the Lord says, go there today. I said, where? He said, read it. It said, Lincoln Park. He said, get in your car and go up there. I said, I don't know where it is. He said, GPS, duh. I punched in GPS. It says, hit Route 80, this and that. And it was very easy. It was just one highway and off, exit 52. I pulled up. He said, it's on this street. He said, go around the bend. I came around the bend and there was the building. I had never been to that city in my life. But that's where he said to go. It was there that I brought a second building worth $4 million. I didn't know where I was going. I pulled up in the parking lot. Nobody was there. And I heard a voice inside the car with me. And he said, do you want this? Just like that. And the Holy Spirit came. By that time, I'm starting to crack, starting to cry. Because when his presence comes, it melts you because you feel that divine love. And you know he loves you. You just feel it. I'm like, yes. I want it. Yes, I do. He didn't say, stretch your hand. Now, he didn't say that. He said, now leave. 2 years later, we walked in that building. I've been in this for 7 years. We own it. He's going to send you where you don't know where you're going. What is that? That's kingdom. That's not this provisionary level. I'm holding on to the bottom floor. Like, I don't know where we's going. I don't know. Are you kidding me? You'll never be able to walk. I got to get you. I got to do something to get you to smile tonight because this message is killing you. We're going to have some fun tonight. Okay, a little bit more. Number two. Okay, so the first principle is not knowing where you're going. Number two, you have to keep moving forward. No matter what happens in your life, you got to keep moving forward. No matter what obstacles, what rejections, what fears, what anxieties, whatever things come, you have to keep moving forward. Forward march. No matter what people say about you, no matter what they like or don't like about you, no matter what the church people say, first family says, second family, keep moving forward. No matter what the boss says, keep moving forward. No matter if somebody likes you in the neighborhood that you moved into that house, keep moving forward. Job 17:9 says, the righteous keep moving forward. And those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Philippians 3:13 says, Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached that goal, but there's one thing I always do, forgetting the past and straining towards what is ahead. You got to forget all that junk that was in your past. And what? Keep. Number three, you got to forget what happened in the past. A lot of people are stuck in level one. The elevator's stuck. It's not moving. The button's not happening because they can't forget what happened to them in the past. Whether they got divorced, whether their second marriage, their first one didn't work, whether somebody died, some kid did this, somebody went to, whatever it is, you've got to forget what happened in the past. Isaiah 43:18, the Lord says, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. Now you can see that I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. You cannot look back. Tell somebody, you can't look back anymore. If you want to go forward, you cannot look back. Number four, you've got to step out. I'm just going to get you to do something. Have a little fun. I usually do this when I preach some of this. And I do it this way. You got to step out. I want you to stand up and just do one of those numbers. Come on. You ain't going to be lazy on me tonight. You're sitting back. Just take that step. You got to step out. And I want you to yell with me. Step out. Step out. All right. Give God some praise real quick. Step out. I'll get you back up in a second. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The next thing, number five, crossover, is where I stopped this morning. In Joshua 1:2, Moses, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 2:18 says, this day you are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab. Deuteronomy 9:1 says, hear, O Israel, you are to cross over Jordan today and go in and dispossess the nations greater and mighty than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven. Joshua 4:1 says, it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua. You've got to cross over. Are you ready to cross over tonight? Yeah. I'm going to show you how to do the crossover. It's a new church dance. You ever seen Thriller Michael Jackson? Michael go like that. Come on, let's stand back up. Y'all going to cross over. Come on now. Come on now. You going to cross over. No, don't get this on video. Don't put this out there. My reputation will be ruined. Okay. Cross over. Just take a big side step and slide that other one. Just slide that up. There you go, Ma. You're doing good. Beautiful. That's a ballerina step right there. That's fifth position, girl. Look at that. Amen. Give God some praise that you're crossing over. Number six is 12 of these. Number six, get out of that place. You're in particular places in life. Mindsets, mentalities, physical location, relational locations, relational situations. You're in a particular place and you need to get out of there. 2 Kings 7:3-4 in the Message Bible says, it happened that four lepers were sitting just outside the city gate, and they said one to another, why are we sitting down here at death's door? If we enter the famine-struck city, we'll die. If we stay here, we'll die. So let us take our chances in the camp of Aram and throw ourselves on their mercy. If they receive us, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll die. We've got nothing to lose. Get out of that place. Joshua 3:3 says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from the place and go after it. Go after the presence of God no matter where it is. Number seven, break open. Oh, I love this. Micah 2:13, the one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass on before them. The Lord is in front of them. So you break out. Everybody take those hands like this. It's a Saturday night party. We'll make it easy for you. Just pull them apart. Break out. You got to get out of where you are. What I'm telling you, I've had to do every one of these things. And I have to, it's a repeating over and over at different levels. You got to keep doing the same thing to make progress. Number eight, break forth. It says in Isaiah 58:8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And how do you break forth? I just told you how to break what? Out. So break out and you break forth. You know what you're going to do. I know some of y'all sitting there looking at me. You know what you know you're supposed to stand up now. He's having a ball. I preach to kids. That's what the gospel is for. You break out and you break forth. Amen. You're stepping into something new, man. Are you hearing this tonight? Now stay standing, because the third one after this is you break through. So remain standing on this. You break through. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. So they went through Baal-perazim. David defeated them there. And David said, the Lord has broken through my enemies by my hand like the breakthrough of water. They called the name of that place Baal-perazim. So it's break out. Okay, go ahead, Ma. You got it. You're doing good. Go ahead, girl. That's a new. Oh, watch out! Don't elbow. She's into it. I love this. You break out, you break forth, and you break through. That's right. You throw that hard punch, and you say, "Breakthrough!" real loud. Now I thought somebody was gonna say "breakthrough" real loud, but that's good. You didn't say that. And I've worked this a lot of times. People say, well, he's doing gymnastics. No, I'm not. I'm showing you principles of the kingdom. Next, you got to understand that you've been here at this mountain too long. There's places in your life you've been at too long. Mentalities, mindsets, concepts, you've been there too long. I hate to say it, but sometimes even local churches. I'll leave that alone. I don't want to get in trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 said, the Lord spoke to us in Mount Oreb, saying, you've dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, and the mountains of the lowland, the south on the seacoast. He said, go. He said, because you've been here too long. There's a time to move. Hey. Number 11, get out of the boat. I'm going to do it for you. Get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat. I'm going to cut you a break. If you just say it to five people, I'll let you off the hook. You get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Matthew 14, 29, verse 30 says this. He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. You can't walk on water unless you come out of the boat. But when he saw the wind was boisterous and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. This is the last one. 1 Samuel 17:37 says, moreover, David said, the Lord deliver me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Number 12 is, go. Go. See, you notice everything is progressive. It's movement. It's accelerating before you. The church has been stagnant. You ever heard of so-called spiritually, I better be careful with this, spiritually fat Christians? And they sit around, they hear message after message, after message, after message, after message, after message, after message, and then they burp and say, good word. Good word. I'll be back next week. It's true. Okay. Oh, I got to finish this. God help me. Your next is connected to your past. Your past decisions, your past integrity, your past principles, your past sowing. You can learn from your past and decide to lay foundations for your future. Your next is influenced by your now. Your now is your pivot point. the point at which a very significant change occurs, a decisive moment, an action of turning around a specific point, a new direction. Your now is your crossroads point, the intersection of two or more options where crucial decisions have to be made. Some of you at a crossroads point, some of you at a pivot point, and some of you at a decision point. When time, you make a crucial, important decisions by answering these questions. What should we be doing? Stop doing. What should we start doing? And what should we keep doing? What am I doing? Okay, what am I doing? Your now is your shift point. What is that? And I'm going to close it out with this. The shift point. That means you got to shift the mindset for now thinking. How are you supposed to be thinking now? Not 10 years ago, not 5, not 8, not 15. Now, 2018, how are you supposed to be thinking? Shift old boundaries to new lines. Shift the heart to new passions. Shift limited experiences to expanded experiences. Shift from safe faith to risk faith. Shift from namokete, natural, to supernatural. Shift. You got to make shifts. You got to make shifts. That's how you get to the next level. I want to tell you something tonight. God loves you very much. And he only allowed me to come amongst you tonight is to try to encourage you. I told you a lot of things. I was a full meal. I could have given you a skimpy meal. But I wanted to get you a full meal. Healthy and nutritious. 8 essential vitamins. All the wonderful things that come with eating the Word of God. And I want to tell you tonight that God really does care about you. Can the musician come back and just flow with me tonight just for a few moments? Amen. Let's begin to just thank God in a gentle way. Just lift our voices in a gentle way to worship God and just thank him tonight. I just want to pray for a couple of you tonight as the Lord leads. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, this is a wonderful atmosphere. Glory to God. Father, we thank you tonight that you're real, that we are the Congress of God, that we are the Ecclesia or the Ecclesia, that we're the called out ones, called out of darkness to your marvelous light, Lord Jesus, that we're the people of the kingdom, and we are the church, the family of God. We thank you tonight for our natural families at level 1. We thank you for the family of God in level 2. We thank you for the third dimension, Lord. We thank you for all of it, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the signs, the wonders, the miracles. We thank you for who you are in our lives tonight. We thank you that you're blessed and you have blessed us with all things, all spiritual things in heavenly places in Christ Jesus tonight. We thank you tonight that you allowed us to be here tonight to hear what you had to say to us, Father. We thank you tonight. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.